Support for Small Wonders on Siouxland Public Media comes from the Daniels Osborne Law Firm in the Ho-Chunk Center in downtown Sioux City, serving needs of clients in real estate transactions, business formation and guidance, and personal estate planning. More information is available on Facebook or at danielsosborne.com.
Baby steps in prairie grass. It took me 31 years of Iowa living to take my first steps on real native prairie, the kind my great-grandparents must have set upon when they arrived in northwest Iowa in the 1880s. 31 years seems like a lifetime. But then, real native prairie goes at a premium in this corner of the state. You can stumble on a few slope patches of original grasses along the bluffs of the Big Sioux, but for decades already, the land has been drawn and quartered by endless row crops of a gigantic garden. I'm told that, topographically speaking, the state of Iowa is home to the most fully transformed ecosystem of any of the 50 states. The forever grassy landscape that grabbed Lewis and Clark's breath the moment they set their eyes on it once used to shiver in the wind like cat fur. Today, Sioux County, where I live, is the most altered county of any of Iowa's 99. 50 years ago, Sioux County people would have boasted about how good Dutch folks drained out sloughs and creeks and put all this land into production. We'd have sung a hymn of triumph. Today, that song would sound more like a dirge. Isn't it wonderful to know there's absolutely nothing left of what was, is a question that answers itself. But let me describe those baby steps, my first on native prairie. Dawn came bewitchingly. Thick summer haze lay like a mystical gossamer river through the land's low spots, casting everything in mellow gold. I stopped beside a 140-acre piece of land called Steel Prairie State Preserve. It's not far away. Those acres look entirely unmanaged. Wild sedge meadow and marsh vegetation answering to no one. A chaotic Iowa caucus of plant life. I know good people who wouldn't find Steel Prairie Preserve at all attractive. But my first steps on native prairie created a whole different feel than what's beneath you when you walk on cropland. Native grasses aren't spindly or scattered. In a half dozen steps, my shoes were wet, pant legs soaked, and I had a whole new sense of prairie schooners slugging through the heavy grasses on bumpy land that hadn't been plowed and disced and planted and harrowed, but was instead a huge natural mess. You can turn an ankle in a minute at Steel Prairie. I had to slog my way through the thick shagginess, a knee-high jungle. But not until you stand there can you imagine the sheer wealth of what has been stripped away. Now, I didn't grow up on a farm. I don't know the earth out here the intimate way my father-in-law came to know it through 70 years of seed time and harvest. 50 years ago, if I had lived here on that Saturday morning I watched the sunrise at Steel Prairie, I wouldn't have been out there. I'd have been inside a barn milking cows. But the morning I walked through the Museum of Native Plant Life that is Steel Prairie, I couldn't help but think that out here in the bountiful northwest corner of the state, we'd live better if we were capable of giving something back to what so beautifully was by divesting some corn and soybeans, shutting down at least some of what we've done. It would be great here to have more prairie, to see more of the tall grass. Really, it's what we owe the land. If our kids could on some Saturday morning take a long walk in restored prairie and look over, say, miles of the great ocean of grass that once was here, wouldn't we all treasure more of what we have? Wouldn't it be great if, in the wide expanse of rolling prairie in a faraway corner of the state, we'd all just try a few baby steps towards more fuller remembering and honoring what once was right here beneath our feet.